You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live.
Africa Live here on the WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking live with activists, revolutionaries who are from Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, but are organizing in different places in the world. And we'll be talking about the elections in the DRC that recently were held. There are results. The officials are saying that that Kabila has won. Joseph Kabila has won, who is the neo-colonial president who's been in place for a while in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And there's quite a bit going on around it. We're going to be talking about that today. Our guests have been delayed, though. well, at least some of our guests have been delayed, and others we're having some difficulty reaching. And so we're going to be starting that discussion in a little while. I do want to welcome all of you who are listening to Africa Live, and say there's a lot going on in the world today, not just the elections in Congo. I think that is one of the many things that are happening in the world right now, that are examples of the crisis that imperialist white power is facing, you know. So we're going to talk a little more about that later on, and we're going to talk about some of the other things that are happening, including, I mean, there's just so much going on in the world right now. There's the downing of a U.S. Military drone in Iran, you know, which is an interesting thing that's happening there. Of course, U.S. imperialism has been acting like they're going to move on Iran for some time now, and that the downing of that drone is another indication of that. And even that is just another attempt by U.S. imperialism to solve its crisis. Its crisis is one that's being caused by the fact that oppressed peoples all around the world are struggling for control over their own resources, their own lives, and that presents a problem for imperialism, a system that that it's parasitic and is that has created a parasitic relationship where all the wealth of Africa and other places go to create futures for white folks in North America and Europe. And so this relationship is really being challenged all around the world. And that is the cause of the crisis. And that crisis is showing itself in so many different ways, including the financial crisis across Europe and in North America as well. So it's interesting to see this crisis continue to deepen itself. One of the things we have to look at is the responsibility that we have in this situation, because the reality is, while it's crisis for parasitic system, those who have been the victims, who have been the host of this parasite, for us, this crisis represents opportunity. And it calls for us to do some things, you know, to make this opportunity something that comes to fruition. And that's why one of the things that's happening coming up is the African People's Socialist Party's plenary, national plenary, that's going to be held in February 18th through the 21st. You can see information about that on Uhuru News. One of the things that this plenary is calling for is it's calling the African Liberation Movement to task, because for a long time you've had a lot of folks who do a lot of work, you know, around particular issues, and doing single issue work itself, while it can keep us busy, and while we can have the greatest of intentions and can win victories in some cases, in order to be truly effective in changing the situation for our people, what we have to do is to build a real capacity to seize power, to seize control of our own lives. Otherwise, we find ourselves forever fighting issues here and there. And one of the things that this plenary that the African People's Socialist Party is holding in February is doing is calling the entire African liberation movement to task, recognizing that our responsibility today, our task right now, must be to build an organizational capacity to seize power for ourselves, must be to build a revolutionary party. And that's not to say that we don't carry out struggles, that we don't make struggles around issues, but even those struggles that we make around issues must be informed, you know, by a greater strategy to build our capacity to win power over our own lives, so that we don't always be fighting to free another Mumia, to free another Troy Davis, and you know, the various other struggles that we find ourselves confronted with. Really want to call for folks to participate in the plenary that the African People's Socialist Party is going to be holding in February 18th through the 21st, 2012. And that's going to be in St. Petersburg, Florida. Calling the African Liberation Movement to task. Let's build the Revolutionary Party for African liberation. So just wanted to say that real quick, and we're going to take a break here. As I said, our guests have been delayed. I guess who we'll be talking with about the Congo elections will stick with us, because we're going to be having this discussion and more here on Africa Live on WhoRadio.com. We'll be right back.
what are you going to say? To ba fe se be o mi lo ma lo. If you want cook soup, now what are you going to say? To be bangbo na o mi le rore o. If your head dey hot, now what a kukulam. To mo bandagba o mi lo ma lo. If your child dey grow, what a him go use? If water kill your child, now what are you going to use? No, no, no. To me back, mama, when you me not do malo. Cause someone to the shake, oh, malo me, oh, nothing without water. Cause someone to the shake.
No matter what you've heard from people who've never been in favor of true social transformation, grassroots, independent black activist politics is not an idea whose time has come and gone. The techniques of years gone by still work and can be made even more effective with the help of new technologies. But first, it's necessary to understand that there is no killer app to jumpstart a movement, no genius application that allows would-be activists to leapfrog over the hard labor of organizing. There is nothing more difficult to move than people, and nothing more high maintenance than ordinary human beings struggling against a system that they fear as much as they detest. Therefore, it is truly a wonderment when every day, mostly black people from a mid-sized city, manage to create an organization for social justice and sustain it for almost 30 years, scrupulously avoiding the corrupting influence of corporate sponsors, and all the while maintaining a disciplined distance from local politicians, including the ones they like. It is a minor miracle when these local activists, numbering hundreds of dues-paying members, manage to expand their organization to cities across the state. These grassroots miracle workers are People Organized for Progress, POP for short, created in Newark, New Jersey in 1983 and currently led by Larry Hamm. The People's Organization for Progress is the best example of grassroots black activism that I've observed in decades, and that is saying a great deal. POP gives the lie to those that claim that pulling one's neighbors together for the mundane tasks of community building is somehow passé, a relic of another time, especially since the unfolding economic crisis has already set black people back 30 years. What becomes clear in the face of the current catastrophe is that we desperately need 50, 100, 1,000 People's Organizations for Progress if black America is to survive the ruin of capitalism. The People's Organization for Progress understands that too, which is why they embarked on a courageous project back in June. If the black people of Montgomery, Alabama, could boycott the segregated buses for 381 days back in 1955, then POP could surely sustain daily demonstrations for at least that long. The men and women of POP reasoned that, through their example of daily protest at two of the busiest intersections of the city, they could rally not just their own members, but community groups, churches, and unions in Newark and throughout the state of New Jersey and in New York and Philadelphia. And they have. As of last week, 110 organizations have endorsed POP's daily campaign for jobs, peace, equality, and justice. And many of these same groups are manning the picket lines with them. Next Tuesday, December 6th, POP will mark day 164 of their protests with a march, rally, and teach-in to celebrate the 56th anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott. If you want to join with grassroots, everyday black folks on their own mission to liberate Newark and the world, then contact POP, the People's Organization for Progress, at area code 973-801-0001. That's 973-801-0001. They'll be there every day until day 381, because these people are serious about building a movement. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
Uhuru, that was Glenn Ford, one of our friends from blackagendareport.com, talking about the People's Organization for Progress and its mobilization, daily mobilizations for at least 381 days. This campaign has been ongoing for some time. We had interviewed POP Chairman Lawrence Hamm maybe a couple months ago, a little early on in the campaign, and the campaign is still ongoing. We want to call on folks to participate in that, get to Newark, New Jersey, and participate in that. POP is also one of the member organizations of the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, and a great organization of of activists, you know, really making a struggle. So we want to call on folks to support, you know, that the mobilizations that are happening there in Newark, New Jersey, under Pop's leadership, you know, keep our ear out, because we're going to be talking again with Pop representatives, you know, about that mobilization and how it's been going. We're going to take another break here, and when we return, we should be returning with our guest to talk about the elections in Congo and its implications for Africa and African people.
Mukana no yotala, denge moi ebimi. Tana libo sona yo, evale tondimbisi. Balola misora sima, zamba etondi banyamana bandeke. Mabele oyo yo telemi, etondi diamana wolu, moto.
2012, APDEF's leadership is scheduled to travel to Sierra Leone, West Africa to help build and shape the projects that are already in progress. However, we need to raise $4,000 by December 15th in order to make this trip possible. It has been your donations of pennies, quarters, and dollars that has enabled APDEF's work to flourish in places in Africa and in the United States. And because APDEF is a people-supported organization, it will be your continued support that will allow us to not only reach our goal of $4,000 by December 15th, but be an example that supporting African self-determination is the answer to the conditions we face. To learn more about our project and to donate today, visit developmentforafrica.org. Support, donate, and grow APDEF, self-determination for African people.
Sometimes I feel safer riding a 5-ton piece of metal in the air overlooking the hood. My brothers can't get out. The hood is on lockdown and cats is moving the keys. Homicide, as if we don't lose enough from the battles going on overseas. Tonight my eyes will burn.
Mboka mboka ngomo kengeli koi mboka ngomo kengeli leopa mikolo to sekana kina mosolo ya mboka Kongo ekoki to fungwani misolelo to moni bozo banyo soto sali. Oya kobongi sa Kongo aveni, ebongi to sala, ebongi to sala, moto nyonso ata mwana. Kongo ya mosolo, mpembe ya nzoku, Kongo ya bwanya, kasa ya mbila, Kongo ya makasi, moto ya nkoi. Kina mosolo ya mboka Kongo ekoki tofungwani misolelo tomoni bozo banyoso tosali oya kobongisa Kongo aveni ebongi tosala tebongi tosala moto nyonso ata mwana Kongo ya mosolo mpembe ya nzoku Kongo ya bwanya nkasa ya mbila Kongo ya makasi moto ya nkoi. Kongo, Kongo ne mboka, Kongo, mboka ya bankoko. Kongo, mboka mwana pamba, lobi, mboko lula yango. Kongo ya batu mayele, Kongo mbako bikisa yo. Thank you. bongo boko mwana pamba lobi boko lula yango bongo bana bazali koyekola bongo bakobikisa yo
and struggle. Now give up the fight, no, no. But it's a black liberation struggle. Man and man unite. Every time I open my mouth, the wicked, yeah, just trying to get me out. But it's a black liberation struggle. Now give up the fight, no, no, no. I miss a black liberation struggle. Peasants and all unite. There must be some change, yeah. Cause Jah got turned men into his reign. Don't give up. Please live up. Don't give up. Please live up. Said a new dawn is awakened, yet nothing has changed. Our freedom was once taken. I don't wanna live no more in shame. That's why I call a black liberation struggle. And I won't give up the fight, no, no, no.
Wuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on thewhoradio.com. I'm your host, Nubinga Zimbabwe, and we have got our guest. We weren't able to get everybody. We were expected to be joined by Wabusa in Germany. However, we couldn't reach him, but we do have on the line with us Louise Kinshasa, the Secretary General of the African Socialist International, who is currently in the UK. And we also have joining us from the UK, Comrade Makola. So, Uhuru, I'm Africa.
Uhuru. Uhuru, Comrade Binga, and Uhuru, all the listeners, Uhuru Radio.
Yeah, and...
Yes, Uhuru.
Uhuru. And we should be joined in just a moment by Congo Likai. So we'll be bringing him on in just a moment. So we've talked recently on Africa Live about the Congo elections, the elections in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We talked about it ahead of the elections. Now the elections have happened with so many things having gone awry in the electoral process. So we want to take a look at the situation there in the Democratic Republic of Congo and how it relates with African people in other places as well, and its impact, you know, in other areas. Luezi, can you say, first of all, a little about the election process itself? I know there was a lot of weird stuff going on in this election, can you speak to that and say what, you know, were some of the contradictions there?
Yeah, the first thing we would like to say is that the elections basically were funded by imperialism itself. They funded the elections. You know, before even we say that the election was stolen by Kabila, but we can say the election was stolen by imperialism itself because they funded it. And they didn't fund it for the people to benefit. They funded it because they want to reproduce themselves, protect their own interests. You know, Belgium put money into it, Japan put money into it, Germany put money into it, United States put money into it, Britain put money into it. So they all put money out of those elections. And they sold it to the people as the second free democratic elections in the Congo. And the second thing is, this is not the first time we have been election in the Congo. This is the first time that the results of the election are stolen. Remember in the 60s, Lumumba won the elections. And they attacked his government. And they assassinated Lumumba and Okito and Paul and the other African leaders who stood up against imperialism at the time. But now, the elections have been basically stolen. Everybody knows that. You don't have to convince a lot of the masses in the Congo because you will not find support for Kabila. There is no massive mobilization support for Kabila in the Congo. It doesn't exist. Or outside the Congo, it does not exist. And imperialism knew that all along. But they just want somebody, some process to validate the theft of natural resources in the, of Congo. And before the elections, normally they're supposed to have two rounds. Kabila came with the idea of one round. Whoever wins in the first round is the winner. And there has not been massive mobilization against it. All the opponents of Kabila mourned about it, but no one mobilized the masses. Now, we knew all along Kabila would see the elections. You know, but when he started, you know, making his move to make sure he would control, he would steal the result by imposing one round, no opponents mobilized against that. And imperialism, the liberal press of imperialists never criticized Kabila for doing that, just like as it is now. Nobody's criticizing Kabila. The press is quiet. British press, all these, you know, French press, all of them are quiet. And another thing is that a week before the elections, there were evidence of voting cards being ticked for Kabila. Millions of voting cards from South Africa. And there are evidence of people being recruited around the African community from Congo, around the world, to go in the Congo and facilitate the transportation of all those ballot boxes, voting cards that have been ticked already in favor of Kabila. Another thing we would like to say is that there was no definite register, voting register roll. there was no evidence of who exactly is on the register wall. Who has registered? People didn't know who has registered. You know, and Tshisekedi raised that question, but there's no follow up. You know, there was no really massive mobilization to see clear. So all the elements basically to steal directions were there. And even at the day of the vote, people would show up at the police station. There is no name. There is no name on the register. You know, they can't find their name on the register. That was regular. And all, not enough voting cards, just irregularity everywhere. Even in police, observers themselves acknowledged that it was a massive irregularities. So it should not go ahead. But, of course, everybody's quiet. They're only talking about what's happening in Russia, Putin and Moscow, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's talking about it. So people knew. The press knew, the police knew, the observers knew, the UN knew, everybody knew they're going to steal the elections from Tshisekedi. This is not the same we support Tshisekedi, but that's, you know, that's basically what I can say. And yeah, sure.
You know, first of all, can you say something about who Kabila is, too? I know, just for people who may have just been coming into, you know, this discussion about Congo. Can you say who Kabila is?
Kabila is the son of Laurent Desire Kabila. Although a lot of people dispute that, but politically that's not really important. He was in the Kabila army, and he was, according to Joseph Kabila, this is his own biography, he was under the supervision of James Kabarere. James Kabarere is one of the key commanders of Kagame's army in Rwanda. So he was supervising, basically, the development of Joseph Kabila. And he was appointed as a general major in the army under Kabila. Under Laurent Desire Kabila, and he was sent to China in military training, and he was in his late twenties at the time. Now, when Kabila was killed, Joseph Kabila was in China getting military training, so he was called to come back to Congo, and there was a kick around Joseph around Laurent Desire Kabila, who appointed him as the leader of Congo, basically. But he has no social practice or political practice. He has no history of being involved in the struggle for liberation for anything. Nobody knew anything about him. He just, from nowhere, you know, a bit like Barack Obama, from nowhere, you know, and he's been appointed as the president. And he couldn't speak, basically, to the people. People didn't know what he has to say, etc., you know. And the only thing we knew, he was allied to to Rwandan army, and this something has stuck on him. Most people would criticize Joseph Kabila. They criticize him for being an agent of Kagame, and I think he's got further to say basically he's just part of Kagame a group, basically, you know. But the point is that he has not organized as the leader of Congolese army or as the president. He has not organized any resistance against the occupation of Congo. He has not done anything like that, and he has compromised with Kagame. Every time Kagame made a demand, he always compromised with him. And also, before the election 2006, let's say between 2001, when Kabila was assassinated, and 2003, when imperialists imposed a new formula for Congo to be put under, Joseph Kabila and a man called Bemba who was a leader of the proxy war in favor of Museveni. As you know, Museveni is a U.S. agent, a U.S. imperialist agent. So, Joseph Kabila and Bemba and two other guys, one of them is Goma, and another one is Deogratias, whoever, four of these, they came to formula 4+1. So basically you have four leaders plus Kabila to be inside the Congo. And that was from 2003 until the election took place in 2006. And this again boycotted those elections. And this allowed Kabila to run for presidency, opposed only by Bemba, who was also the leader of the proxy war in Congo, just like other leaders that Rubero was. So that's basically what I can say for the background. Tied to Laurent-Désiré Kabila, tied to the Rwandan army, and this was used as a basis basically to secure his rise to power. And from that time, you know, up to now, he has not been seen or accepted as a legitimate leader of the most majority of Africans in the Congo, who definitely oppose him, but they oppose him in a way we don't unite with. They oppose him for being from Congo, being from Rwanda, as opposed to being in service of the U.S. And imperialists and other imperialists in the Congo as well. So that's basically what I can say.
Comrade Likai, can you say what has been the reaction among Africans in Congo to the results of this election?
Uhuru, Dinga. The reaction of the people after the stolen election was as imperialism was. Wasn't really expected.
You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Wasn't really
go ahead. Uhuru.
And from the Congo, they can't fight a war that takes more than 2 days. And they have been surprised at seeing our people going on now for the past 2 weeks. Even before the election result, our people stood up already and were protesting and so forth. So, the reaction of the people is people feel like their voice has been stolen, their voice hasn't been heard, they're not. That's why we as an organization are responding by calling our people to organize, because we believe the way forward is by organizing our people, because for the first time for a long time we see the involvement of our youth. The involvement of our youth here, because they've seen parents crying at home how their voice wasn't heard. Mm. And the youth start to react and say, what can we do? So now the majority, even as we were marching, protesting yesterday, the majority of the people that got arrested yesterday were women.
Hmm.
Yeah, African women, they have reacted. They are in unity. They want freedom. And now people like most of the people that are coming to protest now understand that the marches or the struggle that is taking place is gone beyond the control of the political party or the personality of Etienne Tshisekedi, who the other candidate to presidency. Now the struggle has taken over to a next level where these type of organization are able to organize the people, because they don't believe in the people anyway. They just shake the people to negotiate their own position into power. But now our people are more mature, and with us as an organization responding to the crisis here, I think this thing is going to go on, and people are even talking to make the struggle of Congo open to all the various African community to join, because the people can see the limitation of our struggle when fought within the confines of the borders of imperialism. So this is like a gold mine given to us as an organization. And, you know, I salute once again the leadership here in the UK and the vision of Chairman of Mali, because, you know, we can read through lines that this is our time.
Uhuru. We're talking live with African Socialist International organizers, Luizi Kinshasa, who's the Secretary General of the ASI, Congo Lakai, and Makola, about the elections in Congo and the reaction to those to the elections all around the African world. Lakai, can you say where you mentioned the fact that there were mobilizations there in London? Can you say what other places there have been mobilizations around the Congo elections?
We have image of people yesterday in Champs-Élysées in Paris. You know, because you officially you can't go and march or protest in the Champs-Élysées, because this is where the French heart of financial kind of the White House of the French people. So you can't go there and march, or it's not even allowed a gathering of more than five African. As you know, every gathering of ours makes a threat to you know, the regular people of this kind of the place where we live. So yesterday they saw over 2,000 African marching and chanting, and it really frightened the, you know, the state in the French state. And I think we have also our people in South Africa who start to see the participation and involvement of Zuma in this collaboration, because most of the red vote came through South Africa. And, you know, the position of Zuma is clear. He's against the freedom of African people.
Mm.
And I think we should expose him even more so that people can see what the ANC struggle meant to most of us, to the African world. You know, because, you know, if we look at the struggle of the ANC for the past, like, 10 years, he had played a very negative impact on the whole Africa, you know, as a whole, and even the whole African people in the world, because, you know, now we see black imperialism, you know, we see, you know, these people are trying to get to where, to dress themselves in the uniform of imperialism to impose the will of white power to the majority of African people. So, you know, we can use this election as also another way to expose, really, you know, these ANC gangs and bandits because of the involvement. And we also have our people in Sweden, in Brussels, where the capital of Europe is. In Brussels, they are even anticipating arrests. They're going to people's house, young people's house, to arrest them before they reach the march. You know, so that shows you their desperation. And once again, that gives us the, you know, way to see that if we internationalize our struggle, no one can stop us, because, you know, we're all over the world, and consequence can be paid all over the world if they touch us anywhere in the world. So this is African internationalism in motion, and we the future.
Uhuru. Mafuka Makola, you've been out there, you know, during mobilizations there in London. Can you say what has been the response by the imperialist, you know, by the state, to Africans out there?
I mean, first, I just want to just want to echo what Brother Lakai was saying, was that imperialists did not really expect this to happen. They thought they could send in 20,000 troops in Kinshasa, block all the areas that block all the areas that where they suspect it has the most supporters of Tshisekedi and what have you, which is what they've done in so-called areas in Congo, in Kinshasa particularly, where Tshisekedi has his supporters and what have you. So nothing comes in, nothing comes out. They've cut off electricity, and they thought this is it. You know, we cut off the snake. You know, we cut off the head of the movement, if you like. But what I didn't anticipate was that Africans here are going to respond back, you know. And we're costing them money, because we've been out since the 25th of November, before the election took place, and marching, you know. And that surprised even the organizers of Independence and the various other political formation that were involved in organizing. They were even surprised. But not only that, is that the women themselves, the women in the church themselves, have begun taking on the issue of rape as an issue that they should be responsible for dealing with. You know, they were outside Downing Street. They probably so if you like the 25th, the Friday of November, and then the following week, I believe they came out, and they've been African women have been out, and it's not just the women who are of a certain age, but also they brought their young sisters and their children as well. You know, outside, you know, what one time there was a depressed the women where they were out from 10 o'clock a.m. all the way till 8 p.m. and they didn't want to go home. You know, the police had to encircle them and really threaten them, and as the morally crisis, they've been arresting lots and lots of us, but particularly targeting women because these women have been in the front line taking on the police, you know. And not only that, not only are the sisters have been on taking on the police, but they've been calling on the brothers to say, look, you know, why are you sitting on the side? You've got to be, if you're a real man, you should be out here, you know, standing up for our people, you know. And so the police didn't anticipate this, you know, they really did not anticipate this. And it's taken them by surprise. They've had like a situation where we'll have a protest and they'll have maybe, you know, 10 police. And then they'll realize that we ain't going away. We're here for hours, and they'll send in, you know, last time they sent in a 100 police van with loads and loads of police with tear gas. They had police with horses, all to intimidate the African women and African people all there, you know. And we haven't seen it before, and we're not doing anything. We weren't doing anything, you know. We were just standing there picketing. This is not a protest. This was just a picket outside Downing Street where David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, lives. You know, and it's not like we're outside his house. We were outside the gates of his house. You know, at least 10 minutes away from where he lived, barricaded away. But they're still sending the police to block the traffic. You know, and although the media refused to report what's going on here, let alone what's happening in Congo, they were forced to report it. You know, at least the press were forced to report it via the traffic report, saying, you know, you can't go here because these Congolese are protesting, they block the traffic and what have you. So what has taken even the organizers of these protests, the Fairly Blue organizers of the protest, by surprise is the militancy of the African women and the young people coming in saying, we want to do something, what should we do, you know? And this is what Robert Lika was saying, that we've got to organize because African women, African youth are saying, what do we do to free our country? It isn't about the chicken. It isn't about the election. Women are coming in saying, stop the rape. The young people are saying, 10 million Africans dead is too many. You know, this isn't about the chicken. This isn't about the election, you know. And we knew that Africans weren't coming out because of that. They just needed something that would bring them out. They need a spark that will light up all the anger they have, you know. And African women, you know, we hear some of the things they say to the police. You know, the police will be pushing away. They'll say to the police, look, I'll give them a British passport. Just leave our country alone, you know. And you can see that they, you know, they're not coming out here to support Tshisekedi or even to worry about the election, because this is beyond that. This is about imperialism imposing its will on Africa. And what is clear from these protests is that it's over. It is over because, you know, they're sending the police, the dogs, the police on horses, the vans, you know, and tear gas. But African youth, the African women are saying, we intimidated by this. And they even sent in, you know, one march, even sent in the armed police, you know. This is not one, but this is several marches. I'm going to come back next week as I speak. They're going to be protesting outside the BBC headquarters because they're refusing to report this. They're going to be protesting outside Downing Street. They're going to be marching from the embassy to come with the embassy to Downing Street again. And so this is fantastic for us. But also this is something that, as I said, imperialism did not anticipate that this is going to take place. And so they're scared. They don't know what to do. You know, we either intimidate them, but they're still coming. We arrest them. They're still coming. And so they, you know, they keep going back saying, what do we do? What do we do? So this is fantastic. And it's fantastic to be in this protest because we haven't seen this kind of radicalism within our community. You know, we haven't seen this for a long time, apart from the youth uprising in August, which wasn't really, didn't have any political message. It wasn't going anywhere. It was really just an outlet. But this is something that is continuous, and it's set to go beyond just picketing outside Downing Street.
Uhuru. Uhuru. You're listening to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. We're talking about the elections in Congo, but so much more than just the elections in Congo. We're talking about mobilization of Africans all over the place, you know, in relationship to this thing that's happened in Congo. We're going to go to break here, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. So stick here with us on Africa Live. We're going to play Black Stalin, More Come. Thank you.
never be conquered. It's 400 years now and over. All them superpower trying to conquer Africa. Yes, they went down there with all their lust and their greed. But don't care how they try, you know they can't succeed. Yes, they kill and they kill and keep killing. But the more Africans they kill, the more they see coming. And when they try and they try and they can't make hands with Africans, they just pack up the bag and back they go on to the land. Why?
No warriors we come down. If no warriors we come. No Africans that they kill.
If the more they see coming still.
They kill Juju. Yoru. Ashanti. Watusi. They kill Juju. Yoru. The more African that they gone down.
No come, no come.
We get back Mozambique so easy. Zimbabwe and Angola are ready. And if it's one thing as sure now as ever, Namibia and South Africa round the corner. Yes, it's one bomb they drop on Hiroshima, and they get the whole of Japan to surrender. And in 200 years red cloud on the reservation. But for 400 years, they still can't capture Africa. Why?
The more warriors they come down.
It's the more warriors will come.
The more Africans that they kill. It's the more they see coming still.
They kill Juju.
More come.
Yoru.
More come.
Ashanti.
More come.
They kill Watusi.
More come.
They kill Hero.
More come.
They kill Tongo. The more African that they gone down.
No come, no come.
They deal with Lumumba long ago. Yes, they deal with Moboya and the Biko. Yes, they keep killing leaders after leader. But don't care how much they kill, Africans won't surrender. And how come the same people want to tell me Africans today have no unity? Yes, I know they may say I'm drunk, they may say I'm mad. But one day Africans go be living under one flag. Why? The more warriors they come down. It's the more warriors will come. The more Africans that they kill. It's the more they see coming still. Jojo.
Loka.
Yoru.
Loka.
Ashanti.
Loka.
Watusi.
Loka.
Bakandela.
Loka.
Bakandela.
Loka.
The whole African that they gone down.
No come, no come.
Yes, them have the bomb, them have the gun. All the nuclear weapons. And if there's one thing I know that I could bet, Africans never invent no bombers yet. But then how come with all the bad, reach Africa, the weapons become a scrapyard. Like they won't believe the words of the old witch doctor when he said that Africa shall never be conquered. Why?
The more warriors they come down, the more warriors will come. The more Africans that they kill, the more they see coming still.
Choo-choo,
Bonka,
Yoro,
Bonka,
Ashanti,
Bonka,
Watusi,
Bonka,
Makandela,
Bonka,
Makandela,
Bonka,
Choo-choo,
Bonka,
Yoro,
Bonka,
Ashanti,
Bonka,
Watusi,
Bonka,
Benin,
Bonka,
Lenin,
Bonka,
the more African that they gone down,
Bonka, Bonka,
one love, one love, one love.
This is our and welcome back to Africa Live here on thehooradio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we are talking about the elections in Congo and the situation in general in Congo coming off these elections. We have on the line with us Luwezi Kinshasa, the Secretary General of the African Socialist International, as well as two ASI organizers, Congo Likai and Papi Makola. We want to invite those of you who are listening to participate in this discussion. You can do so by calling in or emailing in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599, or you can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629, or call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and that's all one word, all lowercase, or email us at dj@uhururadio.com. So we got a call in the while we were at break asking us to clarify what the results were that came out. Luwezi, can you say what those results were, or what they're saying the results were?
Yeah, the result was supposed to be announced on the 6th of December. When it announced on the 6th of December, it was postponed basically until 2 days ago. And basically, according to the CENI, which is the National Electoral Independent Electoral Commission, they say that Joseph Kabila won with 48% of voice, of votes, and which is below 50% anyway. But if you win the first round, you are the winner. You don't need to go to the second round. Hmm. And Tshisekedi got 23% of votes. And then you had Kamere, Vital Kamere, used to be the head of lower house, got 7%, and there's a man called Kengo Wadondo. He used to be in Mobutu government, and he won 4%, and the rest of people got, you know, less than that. And according to Tshisekedi himself, he won with 54%, and Kabila obtained 8% of votes, according to Tshisekedi. But there are also other sources, like Jimmy Carter Center, you know, Jimmy Carter, the U.S. Mm-hmm. president in 76, he said that Tshisekedi won by more than what Tshisekedi himself believed to have obtained. So I'm not sure exactly how much percent that is. But I will be known, for example, in Kinshasa, which has a large concentration of population by something like 7 million people, Tshisekedi won by 78%. That's official result. So which basically does not go well. That if Tshisekedi won 78%, that's the capital itself. How could he lose in the rest of the country? Usually, as I said, the trend. And also, we need to know that 60% of the population voted. 60%. Of those who are registered to vote, only 60% voted. So something like 40% did not vote. So So that's basically what I can say that. Yes, Uhuru.
Uhuru. With this current situation, all this resistance to Kabila's government, to the neocolonial government there, do we see, you know, something we've seen in the past, even recently, in Egypt, is when imperialism's guy becomes problematic, they do away with him. Do we think that this will happen in Congo with Kabila?
Well, we don't know yet. Everything depends on the mobilization, a mass mobilization. What happened in Egypt, you had a massive mass mobilization in Egypt. And you had these broadcasts around the world. But what's happening in Congo first is no broadcast at all. The media is working hard not to get what's happening in Congo on the world stage. It's not happening. And we don't know yet at this level what is the level of mass mobilization inside the Congo. And also, we don't know also what is the capacity of the organization on the ground. It's starting with a neo-colonial organization like UDP. What is the response to defend the votes of the masses? The masses who voted for Tshisekedi. What is Tshisekedi's response? You know, how Tshisekedi is prepared, Tshisekedi and its leadership, his organization, you know, are prepared to defend the masses who voted for them. That right. To vote, you know, that their vote counts. We still don't know yet. We just know that the Tshisekedi is going to announce tomorrow his own government. He said he's going to appoint his own government. So we don't know how this will work out because I don't know his organization for being responsible of building, you know, dual power organization on the ground that speak to the needs of the people or something like that. We don't know that. You know, so at the moment, I can't really tell. But what we know, the Africans who are outside, if we apply our African internationalism well, if we are successful, it's going to have an impact. Because since most of those Africans who are in motion, in Europe, in Canada, basically when I say in Canada, because the marches are taking place in France, Paris, Lyon, all the other cities in England, the march taking place in London, Manchester, Birmingham, Liverpool, in Germany, in Glasgow, in Scotland, and we know in Germany, in Cologne, and Sweden, as the guy said earlier. So are we going to be able to win the rest of the African world? Because we need to project the long-term goals of the Congo Revolution, which is basically the African Revolution goals too. Are we going to be able to by the rest of the African world, so we can, you know, use these mobilizations happening in the African Congo, you know, to mobilize the African world, basically. I think this is a challenge for all of us, and I think it's something probably we should be able to do. And this could also can become a factor, you know, because no one wants to see all the Africans around the world united for revolution in Africa. That's basically it's upon us. You know, that's one part of things are moving on. But based on what's happening on the ground, I can't really tell. I just know there is resistance on the ground. There are many questions. How are we going to unite with, you know, how are we going to have impact, united, you know, join the fronts that's building up in the Congo and all the many fronts that are being built in Europe and in North America? Because it's one African revolution, one African struggle, one African liberation, many fronts, as people can see by themselves. For this demonstration march taking place in more than 10 cities throughout the white world, the Western world, basically. So I think it's difficult to say what's going to happen today or tomorrow, but a lot of things depend on those Africans who are listening. We believe that we have to make a history. No, one day we go join movement now. You know, people don't have to wait for someone from going to do it. You know, we can organize, we can call for demonstration actions in unity with what's happening in other cities. You know, like just like what people are saying, occupy your city, you know. Mm-hmm. We also can join, we can build our own thing, you know, Auckland, wherever we are, you know. And these have to project the strategic goals of African liberation. That's basically what our intervention you know, African People's Socialist Party is attempting to do, is to bring the strategic goals of the African revolution in those spontaneous demonstrations. For example, we want no war in the Congo, but we also want no more war on Somalia. So we want to stop all wars in Africa. Mm. People have to move on that. We don't want any rape of African women in the Congo, but we don't also don't want any rape of African women in Colombia or Somalia or anywhere else. We want international tribunal. You know, we're having a meeting on the 14th in Germany on the Lumumba's anniversary commemoration day, the day he was assassinated, to build the African tribunal, you know, under the leadership of ASI. We're saying, you know, all the war crimes, crimes against humanity that have been committed in Congo, all the responsible had to be brought to court, bring in Paris to court. So we're going to all do that kind of work. We also want those who committed war crimes against Africans elsewhere, Haiti, to be brought in that court, so we can all move together with the same strategic goals. But the key thing is to build a party. Mm. That's what we're telling people who are coming in there. We need a tool, organizational tool in the hands of the people to do it. And it has to be a revolutionary tool, a special tool, not a tool to just talk about. But a tool that people in Paris by stealing the election by coming in the first place. You know, the only money we want from the Paris is reparation, you know, from theft of our resources and our lives and stuff like that. So basically, I'm trying to say, nothing is over.
Mm.
You know, the African Spring, it has begun to build steam. So we need to make all these struggles happening everywhere to converge into one. But the party, we need one party. One, you know, many fronts, one African liberation, one party. That's the question we need to resolve. If you want, you know, if we want to be able to say what's going to happen, you know, anywhere in the Congo or in African world, basically. That's where we are. Yes, we're.
Uhuru. That brings to mind another question. Like, what is the character of these mobilizations that we're seeing now? Are they primarily, are they just Africans from Congo, or are there other Africans, you know, from other areas, you know, of the African world participating in these things? And if not, how do we resolve that?
Primarily the Africans from Congo, but we're working on that basically to get the rest of black community, like in Britain here, to participate in those demonstrations. So, like yesterday, I know some, you know, young Africans from here, from Sudan, who joined the demonstration basically. But that's something we're working on, and that's what I was saying, that we need to open up similar struggles everywhere we are. People can call for demonstration wherever they are, you know, against the theft of elections, but mentally we have to open up a new front, basically. You know, not just against the theft of elections, but it has to be any of the strategic goals of the African liberation movement. It could be for self-determination. You know, because that's what the question is, you know, self-determination of Africa, self-determination, you know, in the Congo and around the African world. So we're working on that. There's a lot of work to be done, media work, outreach work, basically to make sure Africans from other places are part, they come to the demonstration so they can expose their own experience, also be in unity with, you know, the immediate demand of the demonstrators and the long-term
Should it be Makola? Yes, Makola, one of the things that that we've seen in the past and even recently, of course, is narrow nationalism that looks at the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo and says, "Well, this is Rwanda's fault." You know, do you think that that the response by imperialism to these mobilizations, the attacks and jailings of Africans, is helping to give people a better understanding of who is really, you know, behind this thing?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. The reason I said is this, because we've been working with various forces for a long time now, since. I'll say really since 2005, 2006, where there was some kind of movement of Africans from Congo to try and build movement against what's happened in Congo in terms of the rape, in terms of the UN occupation, in terms of the government of, in Congo. But the opportunists and petty boo leadership that imposed themselves on these groups deliberately, took their energy away from imperialism and began to kind of point at the fact that the president of Congo supposedly came from Rwanda. And the main guy who really made this theory into some kind of a respectable theory was Honoré Nguanda. They call him Honoré because he was part of the giving respect, he was part of the Mobutu government. And Nguanda, he made this theory into something that Africans began to respect. African people began to respect because it diverted energy away from imperialism, and it was all about the fact that this president was not from Rwanda, his family came here, all this kind of rubbish. And a lot of them knew it was rubbish because they know Paul Kagame, who sent troops into the Congo, was trained in America, and they know the UN soldiers are there, and they're not all of them are coming from different parts of the imperialist world, and they're sent there they know this stuff already, and we've been trying to argue with them, and they know this, but they would deliberately go on TV and channels that are directed at Africans of the Congo, Africans in general, and say this rubbish. And what they did was, well, they did it so they can contain the movement, maintain it, and keep it just about regime change, so that when there was a regime change, they would set the benefit. So for them, it was not about transformation of conditions for Africans in the Congo, but it was about regime change. And to keep a regime change, you had to focus on the president and the fact that the president was not Congolese. Therefore, you would maintain. So whatever the president did, whether the president sold timber cheaply to the Chinese or to the French, as it's happening now, or whether he sold the whole of Katanga away to the Chinese, you say, oh, don't worry, this is because he's not Congolese. And so you keep it really just about regime change. But the youth, the women who are coming in, have always their experience has been international. They go to school with Africans from other parts of the world. They know that we also have similar conditions. They know that. They know the African youth, whether they're from the Caribbean or they're from Congo, from Nigeria, get arrested by the police. We saw the solidarity that African youth gave to each other when they rose up in August. No one said, oh, Mark Duggan, he was killed by the police. Well, he's not, he's from the Caribbean, or he's born here. Listen, African from Batley, who are mainly from Ghana, rose up. African from Brixton and Peckham in South East London, who are mainly from the Caribbean, rose up. There was no issue about who came from where. Africans from Manchester, rose up. So, so African youth have this internationalism on them, imposed on them, and they have this view ready. But it was these petty boo, these opportunists who led the so-called combat movement, throughout Europe, and kept it really this kind of macho, this kind of they'll dress in military gear, they'll go on TV and talk about, how the president is from Rwanda, and they kept it that way because they didn't want the masses to get involved. And now, with the election that took place, the election became a kind of focal point for all the forces to come together. But now it's surpassed beyond these idiocracy idea of the president being from Rwanda. It's become now, the young people themselves are coming and say, this isn't about the president being from Rwanda, this is about imperialism. This is about the fact that we voted for one person and imperialism decided they're going to impose somebody else on us. The African youth are coming in and saying, we had enough, we want to build our future. And the night when they announced the election, it was mostly the youth who decided they're going to go outside Downing Street and by themselves, and they were talking, they were saying, we had enough of these chants for EDPS leader, for Tshisekedi leader. They had enough of these chants. They had enough of these chants attacking Africans from Rwanda. They said, this is not our enemy. Our enemy is not someone from Rwanda. Our enemy is imperialism. We've seen what they're doing to us here. We've seen how they bombed Libya. We've seen what they've done to, so these African people were actually discussing, creating new slogans and talking about organizing and doing more stuff, and they were asking us for leadership. And we're saying, we welcome that, we took their contact details and we want to organize around them. So African youth have always been wanting to do something about the Congo, wanting to take on the issue of the Congo. African youth from other parts of the world, we've held conferences where African youth from, there was one African brother we worked with in Sussex University in Brighton, in South London, South England. And he mobilized his entire university around the issue of Congo and around the issue of the fact that money that we pay to go to university gets invested in arms company and what have you. I mean, it was a limited democratic demand, but Africans all around And people beyond Africa, you know, we had a brother from Iran, you know, who wanted to organize in his university around the East of Congo, despite the fact that his university had loads of Africans there. He went out his way to organize Lumumba Society in his university. And so you had people like that who just wanted to do something around the Congo, but it was these petty blue forces, these opportunists who ran these organizations and kept the whole thing just about regime change, and therefore they made it really impossible for people to get involved, because how can African youth from the Congo join a movement that's saying the enemy is from Rwanda when he goes to school and, you know, the colonial education fails him, he tries to get a job, and, you know, imperialism doesn't give him a job. So he can see this is not about, you know, where someone's from, it's about imperialism. So the Africans couldn't identify with the movement, so they didn't get involved, you know, and now they can get involved, and now they're getting involved and they're taking things beyond just about elections. And so this is something that we really, really feel excited about. You know, we just feel so excited about it, because the African youth are coming ready and saying, this is our movement, this is what we want to do. You know, it's not about following this or that. So we welcome that, and we have to take this challenge full on, you know.
Whoa, great. Talk about the limitations of regime change. Kongo Lukai, what would Tshisekedi's replacing Kabila mean for Africans in Congo?
Basically, comrades, if Tshisekedi won the election and became president of the Congo today, to the majority of African people from the Congo, it doesn't really change much, except the fact that the middle class, the peyboos who are in the diaspora, will get jobs. And one of the reasons why so many of them mobilized behind Tshisekedi, because they saw a job opportunity. Yeah, they saw jobs because their main motivation was getting jobs, and he promised them jobs. So I think to most of us, the working class, regime change will never change our situation. Even if they have the best of interest, the best of motivation and sincerity, I think regime change cannot change the history of suffering of 500 people, of exploitation of our people. So, to fight for regime change is really aiming at your own kind of yourself change, your self-ambition, and, you know, your motivation is from your own benefit. But as far as our people are concerned, we have no short way but the revolution to bring that real change that we all need to become a respected nation of people, to become a human being with dignity. We need to make that revolution. So regime change or, you know, any kind of shortcut that these opportunities people will bring to the masses of our people will not bring any kind of change.
World. You're listening to Africa Live here on thehooradio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we're talking about the situation in Congo following the elections there. We're going to go to break and return in just a moment with more on this discussion. So stick with us here on Africa Live.
Colonialism akami, capitalism akami, imperialism akami. Africa, Asia, America Latina, fungola miso, yelengenge. Mama, yelengenge. Matata, yelengenge. Colonialism akami, capitalism akami, imperialism akami. Africa, Asia, America Latina, bunduki na mapeka, yelengenge pa mama, yelengenge pa tata, yelengenge na etumba, yelengenge nyata bango. Mindele bamoni tozali makasi batindeli biso mbulumbulu oya konyokola basali ye mindele bamoni tozali makasi batindeli biso mbulumbulu oya konyokola basali ye yo tata mosali na kompani yo mama mosali na bilanga efungola miso yelengenge na etumba yo tata mosali na kompani yo mama mosali na bilanga efungola miso yelengenge na etumba bandeko na biso mingi bateki lipanda mpona mosolo mokolo bakofuta nyongo na biso toyeba ntina ya mbilinga mbilinga bandeko na biso mingi bateki lipanda mpona mosolo mokolo bakofuta nyongo na biso bakoyeba ntina mbilinga mbilinga
peuple baliaka matitu konyata konyata
oh. You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Welcome back to Africa Live here on WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been talking about the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo following elections that just happened there and mobilizations around the world in opposition to the situation there in Congo. We have on the line with us, joining us from London, England, Louise Kinshasa, who's the Secretary General of the African Socialist International, which we're going to say something about what the ASI is in just a moment. Then there's we're also joined by Papi Makola and Congo Likai, who are both organizers of the African Socialist International as well. one of the things I understand is happening is mass killings by the government there in Congo. Can you tell us about that, Luwesi?
Yeah. Basically, we know, like the press, the imperialist press, say that the four people were killed like today, but it's a complete lie. From just what has been put out by the organizations from Congo on the net, just in one region of Kinshasa, it's called Changu. Changu basically is an agglomeration of many neighborhoods. And these are the working class neighborhoods, the most militant working class neighborhoods. Masina, Njili, Kimbanseke, they are one of them. And 51 bodies, you know, found on the street just on one day. You know, we're talking about the other rest of Kinshasa, other parts of Kinshasa. And you know, talking about Bujimai, for example, where you would expect the support for Tshisekedi to be high. You know, talking about Kananga, you know, talking about Lubumbashi, for example, where we know people reject Kabila massively too. So, you know, talking about those areas and the killing taking place, all that. And we know there were 20,000 troops mobilized in Kinshasa just to carry the contingency against the resistance trying to emerge there. And, you know, talking about the occupation forces in the east of Congo, like in Kivu, where daily killing, daily assassination taking place in Kivu. You know, talking about the occupying forces supported by the United States, you know, the proxy armies of Burundi, Rwanda, and Uganda. You know, talking about the UN troops, 20,000 troops in the Congo who are there as occupying forces. You know, talking about all these forces. And you know, talking about the colonial condition themselves, which mean that at least 2,000 people die in the Congo every single day because of colonial conditions. People don't eat, don't have clean water. In fact, they cut electricity and the water is so polluted that it's killing people daily. You know, so yeah, if you put all this together, you know, it's basically an intensification of war against the people. That's what's happening there. Yeah,
sure. World. And I understand massive rapes of African women is happening there as well.
Yep. This is part of one of the future of, you know, characteristic of a kind of sentence in the Congo. The mass, massive rape, mass rape of African women all over the Congo and particularly in the East. This has been going on for more than 10 years. And now they're raping men, they're raping babies, you know, literally babies. They're raping babies. That's the kind of sentences, you know. I'm not sure if it's written in a general Petrarch book, but that is the kind of sentence taking place in Congo, you know, where women are raped in front of their husband, the children, the whole family, the whole village watching, stuff like that. And that's what we're saying, basically, the African world has to intervene, and that's the job of the ASI, and that's one of the ways we're trying to intervene to win the Africans from Congo to realize that we need an African strategy, you know, that will consolidate the movement that's been born before our eyes, basically. You know, yes, sure.
Uh-huh. Now, Luwesi, can you say what the ASI is and how is the solution for the situation in Congo?
Yeah, the African Socialist International is a science, you know, of the leadership, you know, theoretical organization, or basically philosophy and the practical leadership of the African Revolution in our era is the science for leadership of the African working class to solve the all 500 years of oppression of African and African people around the world. And it's a revolutionary philosophy practice that basically saying revolution is the only way, and this has to be led by one party. Many fronts, one people struggle. One party.
No,
that's the African Socialist International. And we have to build a party everywhere, and that's basically the task of our time. That's the task of our time. You know, yes,
we're. Can you We have just a few minutes left in the program, so I want to give everybody an opportunity to sum up for the end of the program. Perhaps you can begin, Lekai.
Uhuru, comrades. What I want to say to the listeners today, this is our time, and our people are on the move. So we as a people need to respond as a people, because imperialism is an international force, and no one can fight it and win, you know, by containing ourselves into the borders that were imposed by imperialism. So I'm calling on our people, you know, whatever we are, we have to come out with something to say and organize and win our liberation as African people, because, you know, there's no other way for us. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Comrade Makola, if you, do you, if, is there anything you want to say to the people who are listening in closing?
Absolutely. I just think that, I'm just, as I said, you know, we are just really, really energized and really excited about what we're seeing. You have to really witness what's taking place in the streets of London, Paris, Belgium, Canada, South Africa, where Africans are, although they don't understand what African nationalism is, but they begin to act upon it, begin to see that you cannot struggle against imperialism in one border or in one area. If they hit us in Kinshasa, be sure we'll fight back in Paris or in Belgium or what have you. So we need to organize, because our young people are asking us. They're saying, we want to do something. We want to go beyond this. We are, you know, this crisis where the euro is almost collapsing, where the dollar is collapsing, where, you know, this is our time. This is our time, and our youth are saying, enough is enough. We can't miss this opportunity. They're saying, we want to organize. So we, you know, we want all of them listening to say, what can I do to support the Africans, the African Socialist National, to really, you know, help make this situation into something more for all of us. Because this is it. This is it. There's nothing else. This is it. It's over for them. You know. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Comrade Luizi, would you like to close it out?
Yes, we're just want to say, you know, Chairman Malisela is right, he's correct, he has been correct all along. You know, many fronts, you can see many fronts, the same people, many fronts, but the same struggle. Now, we need this to go to all African world, basically, and it will be good for those from the Congo to see that demonstrations coming from other places not initiated by Africans from the Congo. That's really important. That's what people are listening. You know, we have to be basically bold and take the initiative. You know, just organize demonstration, you know, in unity and solidarity with what's happening, that we want African self-determination everywhere. Don't basically stop the repression, stop the rape, you know, bill for the tribunal puts imperialism on trial, you know, bill the Revolutionary Party, and call for a demonstration, and put out on the media, you know, put out on the Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, so that it can have an impact on the Africans in the Congo and elsewhere. And this will also will help us to get out of the spontaneous struggle, because it will just bring more fuel to the struggle. So we want this struggle to grow, to last, to learn the lessons of the Black Revolution in the 60s, so we can move forward. So it's exciting, you know, just to know that our people are determined to go forward. You know, here in a sentence of a, in an imperialist sentence, you know. So we're looking forward for more demonstration. There is one tomorrow outside the BBC. Just imagine, from 12 o'clock tomorrow, you know, we'll be there outside the BBC with our banners, with our slogans, and trying to win people to African internationalism. You know, that's great. Really great. So I just want to say, who do you bring up for having us on the radio? Because we need to win the war of ideas, the war of media. You know, but all media trying to boycott what's happening. You know, so we need to, who's used to be there to grow and every other ways, because we need to be able to do all these programs daily so that people, you know, can know what's going on and join the struggle. So I want to say, one struggle, one African revolution, one party.
I want to thank you all for coming on to have this discussion with us today. And I want to thank our listeners for coming on and listening in. We're going to close out the program for today, but stay tuned because there's more great programming here on WhoRadio.com. One Africa, one nation.
Uhuru.
Uhuru.